You have your Bibles, you go ahead and be finding John chapter number 17 as we go through this prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we're talking about prayer and getting this wall of prayer started. I heard about two little boys that were at a wedding, as I was talking about the marriage retreat. There's two little boys were at a wedding, and one leaned over and asked the other, "How many wives can a man have?" And the little boy said, 16. He said, "For better, for worse, for richer, and for poor." That's 16. Whew. John chapter 17. Let me read verse 1, and then I'll read verses 6 through 19. Remember, this is Jesus' prayer. Let's look at verse 1. "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify the Son, and thy Son also may glorify thee." Now look down at verse 6. We talked about verses 1 through 5 last Sunday night, and how Jesus prayed for himself. And then in verse 6 we say, "I have manifest thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world." Talking about the disciples. "Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. And now they have known all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I come out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I'm glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I have come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those who thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. And while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. And I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. The word is truth. And thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sake I sanctify myself, and they also might be sanctified through the truth." May the Lord bless the hearing and the reading of his word tonight. We're talking about the greatest prayer that has ever been prayed, and that's found in John chapter 17, the whole chapter of John chapter 17. We're picking up where we left off last Sunday, where Jesus prayed for himself. And I said this last Sunday, I'm going to say it again. What makes this the greatest prayer ever prayed is the person that is praying it. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is praying it, but not only is he praying it, but who he's praying to. The Bible talks about the period that he prayed it. This prayer allows us to hear our Savior's passion right before his trial, right before his betrayal, his arrest, right even before his crucifixion. We see what Jesus was doing, and that's what makes, I believe, this one of the greatest prayers that have ever been prayed. Number one, because of the person of the prayer. We know it was the Lord Jesus Christ and the period of the prayer. It was prayed right before all of that meanness took place. But also, I want you to notice the purpose of this prayer. Jesus said in verse 1, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Boy, that's a wonderful verse of Scripture in the Bible. My goal, and it should be your goal, is to be as much like the Lord Jesus Christ as we can possibly. And if you're going to be like Jesus, His practice must be your practice. And His practice was prayer. Prayer was a priority to the Lord, not a last resort. And we talked last week about the direction to look when you pray. And that direction was that we should look to God the Father. When you're in trouble, when you've got a need, we need to look to God and go in prayer. You know, I thought about worry. You know, worry looks at God through the circumstances, but prayer looks at the circumstances through God. And if you're going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, His practice must not only be your desire or your practice, but His desire ought to be our desire. And you know what His desire was? As I studied this, as I read this, you know what I see Him doing here in this chapter of Scripture? His desire was to magnify the Lord. His desire was to praise the Lord. His desire was to honor the Lord, the Heavenly Father. The Bible says that Jesus was an intercessor. He ever lives, the Bible says, to make intercession for us. And isn't that wonderful that we know right now in heaven, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, the Bible says, making intercession for us, which means He's praying for us. That's what an intercessor is. It's somebody that prays on behalf of somebody else. And somebody asks, is praying on behalf of somebody else very important? You better believe it is when you're on the other end of that prayer. Amen. You're never more like the Lord Jesus Christ than when you intercede in prayer for somebody else. And that's what we find the Lord doing here in John chapter 17, beginning in verse 6. Remember last week, in the first five verses, Jesus prayed for Himself. You remember me saying it's okay to pray for yourself? Jesus prayed for Himself in verse 6, in the verses 6 through 19, He's praying for His disciples. So I want to just look at that tonight. Number one, I want you to notice, this is Jesus' prayer, beginning in verse 6 all the way down through verse 19. My first point is this. This is what Jesus' prayer was. Father, help my disciples. Look what it says in verse 6. The Bible says, I have manifest Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest me, talking about His disciples, out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them to me, and they have kept the word. So right here in this prayer, we see the Lord Jesus Christ saying, Father, be with my disciples. Father, help my disciples. I don't know about you, but I need help from time to time. We all need help. And our help, the Bible says, comes from the Lord. Listen, when you're in God's hands, you're in a good place. We have insurance with Allstate. You know what they're saying is, you're in good hands. Well, let me tell you, I might be in good hands with Allstate, but I'm in better hands in God's hands. Amen. What's that old song your mama used to teach? He's got the whole world in His hands. When you're in God's hands, you're in good hands. Amen. I want you to notice several things with me. He prayed this, Father, help my disciples. Let me just tell you what He revealed. In verse 6, He says this, I have manifested, which means I want to make something clear. I want to reveal your name. That's the first thing Jesus reveals, your name. Whose name is He talking about here? He's talking about God the Father's name. You know God had a name? Sure He does. God's got a name. Adam knew His name. Moses learned his name. You remember when Moses was telling Pharaoh, let my people go, and he went to God and he said, God, when I tell them let my people go, and they say, who told you to do that? What am I to say? And this is what God said. God told Moses, tell the children of Israel that I am has sent you. God's name is I Am. He's the great I Am, isn't he? It's the name Yahweh, which speaks of his holiness and speaks of his righteousness. The God that hates sin, but he loves the sinner. That's the God that Jesus is talking to here. And he says that he's the great I Am. Yes, he revealed the name of God, but he also revealed the word of God. Look what the Bible says there in verse 8. For I have given you them the words which you have given me, and they have received them. Let me tell you something special about the Word of God. When Jesus speaks, God speaks. And did you notice how they responded to the Word of God? Verse 8 tells us that they received it. By the way, can I say this? That ought to be our response to the Word of God. Amen. That we receive it. They received it, which means that they welcomed it into their lives. In John chapter 2, when Jesus attended that wedding, one of his first miracles there at Cana, and he turned the water into wine. And you remember what his mother said? His mother said this in John chapter 2, verse 5. This is what she said. Whatever he says, do it. And I want to tell you, that's some of the best advice in the whole Bible. Whatever Jesus says, do it. How much better would we be if we did everything the Bible tells us to do? When you start following the Lord's advice, when you start following the Bible advice, you can expect great things to happen to you. So that's what he revealed, the name of God and the Word of God. Notice with me in verse 11, the last part there of verse 11, you'll see what he requested. Here's the request. Look at the last part of verse 11. Keep through my own name those whom thou hast given me. That word keep means to watch over, to preserve. Look at verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them, which means he watched over them. He preserved them in thy name, the Bible says. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. In other words, what the Father kept, the Son kept. What the Father kept, Jesus guarded. Think about that. We're kept by the Father, guarded by the Son, and the Bible says we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Boy, I'd call that security, wouldn't you? Kept by the Father. God is keeping us, and we're guarded by the Son. He's our intercessor. He's making intercession for us right now, even as we speak. And then the Bible says that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. That's security. Now somebody says, what about the last part of verse 12 that says none of them is lost except the son of perdition? Do you see that? That the scripture might be fulfilled. Who's the son of perdition? Who was Jesus talking about here? And we know who he was talking about. He was talking about Judas, one of the 12. And listen, Judas didn't lose his salvation, because I don't think Judas ever had any salvation. Luke 22:3 says that Satan entered him. And John chapter 6, verse 70 says, I chosen 12 and one of you is a devil. I had an argument with some woman at one of my previous churches about Judas. Judas was never saved. Judas was there because it was prophesied that he would be there. Judas is like a lot of church folks today. He thought that if he ran with the church crowd and he talked like the church crowd, he was even the money keeper. He even worshiped with the church crowd that somehow he'd get into heaven. But Judas is not an example of a disciple of Jesus who lost his salvation like so many people believe. Judas is an example of an unbeliever pretending to be saved, but he wasn't. So in prayer, in praying for his disciples, Jesus prayed, "Father, help my disciples." But then I want you to notice number two, what he said, found there in verse 13. He not only said, "Father, help my disciples," but verse 13 says, he talks about him, "Lord, fill my disciples." Look at verse 13. "And now come I to thee, that these things I speak into the world, that they may have joy," have my joy, notice that, "fulfilled in themselves." So how does the Father fill us? Well, he fills us through his Son, doesn't he? And how does Jesus fill us? By saving us. What's he fill us with? Well, he fills us with joy when we get saved. His Holy Spirit comes in and resides with you. And what does the Holy Spirit produce? We talked about it last week. The fruits of the Spirit. So just think about it. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes in and he resides in your life. And when he comes in and you ask him to forgive you of your sins, the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit comes in. We talked about that last week. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Notice what comes in. Love, joy, peace. Joy comes from the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? The Holy Spirit comes from Jesus, doesn't it? And Jesus comes from the Father. And by the way, let me show you what happens when you receive the Word and keep the Word. John 17, verse 11 says, "They may be one as we are." Boy, I'm tell you what, when you get saved and you get in church and you get full of Jesus and you get the fruit of the Spirit, there'll be unity in the church. We'll be as one, the Bible says. Psalms 133:1 says this, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Did you know God's glorified when we all get together and dwell in unity? We need to follow Joseph's advice to his brothers there. Remember in Genesis chapter 45 verse 24 when he said, "Do not quarrel on this journey." Listen, we're on a journey and there's too many things to do, too many things we need to do. We don't have time for fussing and fighting. Amen? Amen. Too many churches just tear my nerves up with all that fussing and fighting. We are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there must be unity in the church. I will tell you, when the church is unified, when the church is prayed up and confessed up, and when the church is controlled by the Holy Spirit and everything's working good, the church can do anything. I mean, that kind of church can shake the gates of hell. You can tell it when you walk into one of them kind of churches. You can see it on people's faces. You can sense it in the handshakes. You can hear it in the singing. It's a loving spirit. And the only way you can have that loving spirit is to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and have that Holy Spirit, that Holy Ghost, come and live inside of you. But you think about it. I've been in them. On the other hand, divided churches, they're powerless. Divided churches are not soul-winning churches. Man, they hadn't baptized nobody in years. Their baptismal pool is a closet to put their Christmas stuff. I've been in them. And what makes us a united church? Let me tell you what makes us a united church. Receiving his word and keeping his word. The word of God. The Word of God will change you, folks. It'll make you more like the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll give you strength to overcome temptation that the devil throws your way. It'll make you into a better husband. It'll make you into a better wife. It'll make you be a better daddy and mama and granddaddy and grandmama. Find your Bible. Get in it. Feed on it. And it'll help you out. Jesus said this in his prayer, Father, help my disciples. And then he said, Father, fill my disciples. And then one more thing, and I'll quit. He says this in verse 17, Father, sanctify my disciples. Look what the Bible says there in verse 17. Sanctify them through the truth. Your word is truth. Skip down to verse 19. And for their sake, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. You say, preacher, that sounds good, but what does it mean to be sanctified? Well, let me tell you. Sanctified just means to be set apart. Set apart. It means to be different from the world. It means to be set apart. That means that when you get saved, you think different than when you used to. You think different. You believe the Word of God. You might even dress different. Amen? You might even talk a little bit different. Amen? You have different desires, different priorities. I told my church years ago when I first, my first church, I even smelled different after I got saved. Didn't smell all that alcohol on my breath that you used to smell. Hey, when you get saved, you're set apart. You're sanctified. You have different priorities. You have different passions. You say, different from what, preacher? Different from this hellbound world. And that's the meaning of sanctification. And let me tell you, how do you get sanctified? Look at verse 17. Sanctify them by your truth. What is the truth? The Word of God. It's God's will for you to be sanctified. And He's provided a method. And that method is the infallible Word of God. You get into God's Word and let God's Word get into you. And in verse 18, we find not only the meaning and the method, but the mission of being sanctified. Look at verse 18. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Listen, that's the mission of being sanctified. God wants you to be sanctified. He wants me to be sanctified so that when you share His message of forgiveness and hope to your family and to my family and to your co-workers and the people I work around, they will listen to you. If you're not sanctified, they're not going to listen to you. If you're no different from the world, they're not going to listen to you. They want to see something different in you. I'll never forget when I first got saved. I've been saved a while, but I guess I was getting sanctified. More like Jesus every day. And by the way, that's the way it ought to be anyway. More like Jesus every day. I was working at Rental Uniform, me and Wayne. Wayne was the rag man. I was the uniform man. I walked into a shop one day, and one old boy said, Buckshot, why in the world do you always have a smile on your face? And I said, well, you shouldn't have asked me that. And I didn't always have to smile. But see, when I got saved, Jesus put a joy in my heart. And I just can't help but smile. You say, preacher, what have you got to smile about? Well, I'm saved. Number one, I'm saved. There's not a greater feeling in the world than to lay your head down at nighttime and know that if you don't wake up, you'll be in heaven. I'm saved. And God's blessed me. He's blessed me with a wonderful family. I had a great mom and daddy. I didn't have them long. They died when I was young, but I had a great mom and daddy. I've got great Christian brothers and one sister that's kind of crazy, but I love her to death. Sharing my wife. God's just blessed me with a wonderful wife and wonderful children and four of the sweetest grandchildren this side of the Mississippi. And if I died today, I'm blessed. I pastor one of the greatest churches in Pickens County. And if I leave this world today, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. That's why I got a smile on my face. Sanctification is not for show. It's for service. It's for souls. And here's the question God's asking us in this prayer. Are you being sanctified? Are you feeding on the Word of God? Are you following the Word of God? Are you following His ways? Do you know why Jesus was sanctified? You know why He was sanctified? He was sanctified to bring honor and glory to His Heavenly Father. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're to be sanctified to bring honor and glory to Jesus. What about it? Do people know where you go that you're a Christian? In your business life, on your date life, your marriage, your financial life, does your giving bring glory to God? Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Listen, I don't know, but Jesus does. And we ought to do our best to be like Jesus. Amen? Amen.